Assembly. Chapter 1. Just under the surface of the waves, where the ocean met the land, a hand without a body reached out for someone to grab it. The hand was wrapped in plastic, so time and water hadn't eaten it, and its fingers, unmoving, were poised and ready to be held. Nell Crane picked it up out of the foam. She placed it quietly into her satchel. Right where the Black River split into the big wild blue, Nell and Ruby Underwood were collecting bits of treasure from the foam. They were farther out than they were supposed to be, out on the city's jagged edge. The pair of them charged with rebellion. Besides, this was where all the best stuff washed up. Right before the hungry sea gobbled the old pieces of the city into oblivion, the estuary caught them and spread them all out on the beach. Treasure among the pebbles. Nell wouldn't take her boots off and stood at the kissing lip of the water, keenly eyeing the drift. A light bulb, a coil of wire. She snatched them and tucked them away. Only useful things. Maybe they'd be the very things that would spark off a great idea. She needed one, and fast. Summer would be over soon. Days like today were a distraction from the forms Nell had not yet filled out. The letters she hadn't answered, the end of apprenticeship project she had not yet begun. Here by the waterside she could forget, at least for a little while. Her small pet stoat, Kodak, was far more courageous, leaping about in the foam. Ruby, however, bravest of them all, was in up to her knees, a net in her left hand, a long stick with a pincer at the end in her right, and a basket thrown over her shoulder. She was a round, bright pinwheel in the water, and Nell was drawn out like her long shadow on the land. The shoreline was pocked with dilapidated signage, roaring impotent scarlet warnings like, "Turn back now," or "No entry." The girls ignored them. Quarantine was over. There hadn't been an aftershock in years. The two of them had been touched by the epidemic in different ways. Both their families scarred by the toxic electromagnetic pulses of the turn. But these times were for healing. This water was theirs. The fat old sun wouldn't lower into the horizon for another hour or so, and the heat of the day was beginning to weigh heavy. The salty air helped, alluded to a breeze, but it was still so hot. The sky had been a too blue blankness for months now, so quiet that it had long since become suspicious. Sweat beaded down Nell's forehead and nose, gathering at the tip of her chin, where a chalky ashen scar began. Despite the heat, she was covered almost head to toe in linen and cotton. Her hair was a black crow's nest, impossibly thick, and just about persuaded into a bundle, speared with a thick graphite pencil. She'd deal with the sweat. It was the price she paid for invisibility. She'd never shown anyone the whole scar. The path of it down the center of her body. Her chest cavity at least ticked only faintly this afternoon, a soft metronome against the laughter of the waves. She would have traded the scar and the ticking for a mechanical arm or leg and a heartbeat, or whatever the machine did, close enough to a heartbeat that her body believed it was real. It was commonplace to sport an arm, a leg, a set of ears, two fingers, or even the bottom half of a jaw, crafted from exquisite, intuitive prosthetic. Absent limbs were part of the price the people of Blackwater City paid for surviving the cruel touch of the epidemic. Nell, however, was the only person with all her metal inside. She was the only person who ticked. Ruby surveyed the murky water. She dug up hunks of sea glass and other shining scraps, sometimes whole objects that had been fed to the Livia River by accident, or perhaps sacrifice during the turn. With salty fingers, she adjusted the patch that sat comfortably over her right eye socket. Ruby staunchly refused prosthetic or augmentation, wasn't keen on the machines. She always said, "What's good for the rest of you is good for the rest of you." Thick eyelashes framed her left eye, so dark brown that it was almost black. Today she had painted all around it in gold and jade powders, a proclamation. "You'd better look right at me. I survived."